The other day, I met with a mother of three beautiful, beautiful children. After merely 7 years of marriage, she feels completely abandoned. She must now file for a divorce for the sake of getting support for her children. While her sadness came from the fact that her marriage had completely fallen apart, part of her fear also came from this understanding and belief that as a Catholic, that if she filed for a divorce, that she would go to hell. She said, I made this commitment before God to be faithful no matter what. And I want to keep it. But because I feel abandoned, I just cannot. What do I do? She said that her faith in God was completely crushed. She felt abandoned by God. The entire hour and a half or so that I met with her, she didn't stop crying once. She cried through the entire conversation. I listened to her much. At least by the end of the conversation, I wanted to send her forth with some sense of hope, some sense of inner strength, and certainly for her to have the understanding that God had not abandoned her. So I asked her to consider this for a moment. I said, see, God, when stuff happens to us, when life happens to us, when we find ourselves in the state, God is not somewhere out there sitting disconnected with us. And I said to her, please know, and folks, I truly, truly believe this because I have found myself where life is falling apart sometimes. And I truly believe what I said to her. I said, please know that right now, God is sitting right next to you, crying with you. See, God cannot force your husband to change his behavior. I hope, and let's pray that he does. But God does not force anybody to do anything against their own free will. But please know that as God sees the tears in your eyes, that there are tears in God's eyes. At the end of the conversation, I think she was a little more at peace. However, she knew that the journey ahead was a steep climb. But she told me at least she was consoled that she was not going to hell. Perhaps there is hardly anyone here who at one time or another did not feel that life was falling apart. Every one of us at one time or another feels overwhelmed with what life has to offer. Where is God in these times? So in my 3 points, I want to reflect on that very question with you. But I want to begin to answer that question in my first point with the gospel reading. See, today's gospel reading is truly precious. And I'm calling it precious because it's one of those rare passages that gives us an insight into Jesus' emotional response, not just intellectual, not from somewhere up high here, but his emotional response to situations. By the way, may I just say to you that today's gospel reading is a continuation of last Sunday's gospel reading where Jesus sent his apostles two by two with their mission. And this gospel reading is his disciples coming back after that mission. And they're tired. They're exhausted. And Jesus catches up on that. He catches on to that and he tells them, come, please, take some rest. Rest a while, get something to eat. And for me, that is precious because we don't get to hear this emotional response from Jesus except in a very few rare passages. Now, unable to do that, unable to get the rest because people kept coming to them, Mark tells us that when he saw the people, his heart was moved with pity. And what does Mark mean when he says that Jesus' heart was moved with pity? See, this word pity, it translates from the Greek word esplanchniste. And the noun form of that word is splachnon. It is used to refer to the guts. In other words, what Mark is saying is that when Jesus saw his apostles and he responded to them, and when Jesus saw these crowds coming, that his response to them came from somewhere in the guts. It's the seat of emotion, the splachnon, this Greek word, the seat of emotion, the depth of the human heart. The noun form in Hebrew of this Greek word is oktromoi, which is translated as merciful love. You put all these words together, I think what Mark is telling us is that Jesus was moved with gut-wrenching, merciful love. In fact, I think Mark is saying that Jesus personified the gut-wrenching, merciful love of God. That Jesus was the gut-wrenching, merciful love of God in human flesh. Jesus was God's heartfelt compassion. No wonder people kept coming to him, because in him they could touch the gut-wrenching, merciful love of God. That's my first point. Now, before I go to the practical implication in my second point, I want to draw your attention to the inner state of Jesus' life. We don't get too much insight into it, but his inner state. Now, we may not realize this simply by reading today's gospel reading, but unless you read the entire chapter 6 of Mark, you don't realize that between Jesus sending his disciples out and then coming back, there is a signature passage that affected Jesus' life that Mark tucks in there without too much attention. But we don't read that passage today. What's the story that Mark tucks in between Jesus sending his disciples and them coming back? The story of the murder of John the Baptist, his brutal murder at the hands of Herod. Remember, he was beheaded just to please a 12-year-old girl. But Jesus had a connection with John the Baptist from the time he was in the womb. It was John who baptized Jesus. And what do you think is going on in Jesus' mind when he hears that, gosh, John has been murdered? What is his emotional state? What goes on in his mind? On a very human level, what do you think John's death did emotionally to Jesus? I think he must have been torn apart. While Jesus was the merciful love of God, there were so many times that Jesus was himself in need of that merciful love. But we know from the scriptures that besides a few women who took care of him, Jesus did not find too much of it. In fact, a death more brutal than John the Baptist awaited Jesus. And I wonder what all this meant for Jesus and what was going on in his heart. So what does the above reflection mean for us practically? Two things, I think. Folks, when we feel lost, like the people in the gospel, when we feel there are times that we are falling apart, when we feel that we have been overcome by weaknesses, our sinfulness, our wretchedness, when we feel like that young mother felt, in these moments we must remember that we are not alone. Really. We can believe that Christ is beside us because he encountered pain. He knew what it meant to be lonely, to see everything around him fall apart. He knew what it meant to be in pain, to be abandoned, to be betrayed, to experience loss. Jesus knows that. And that's why I said to the mother what I said. I said, Jesus is not somewhere far out there. He is next to you, crying with you, because he knows what it means to feel like you. In fact, I believe that God is closest to us in our pain. We may not feel like it, but God is closest to us in our pain. And the second practical implication of this reflection simply is that if you are somebody who has known what it means to fall apart and somehow found God still in the midst of all of that, and if you have been able to find hope, and if you've been able to find the inner strength to go on, then Christ invites you to be God's gut-wrenching, merciful love. How much hurt is there in the world? How much pain do people experience? Yesterday, I spoke to a mother whose 26-year-old son committed suicide. After 5 attempts, the 6th time he succeeded. I have to do his funeral on Wednesday. They're not parishioners. They don't belong to either of our parishes, but I said yes because each one of us has to be the gut-wrenching, merciful love of God to others. So be sensitive this week. We don't know people's stories. Be very, very sensitive to people who might be going through pain, intense suffering, or just questions about faith and God and where God is. Please be to them God's gut-wrenching, merciful love. People came in crowds to Jesus, and we are here today. Jesus gives himself to us because every Eucharist is a celebration of God's gut-wrenching, merciful love. That's what every Eucharist is. As we receive this love, please go out into the world. Wherever you go to work this week, wherever you find yourself, be the gut-wrenching, merciful love of God to others. Please be Jesus. People of God said,